Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Have you ever had your initial expectations left unmet, but received something better in the end? Maybe you expected to get one grade on an assignment, but ended up getting a better one. Or maybe you expected to spend some time with one friend, but ended up having a better time with another. Or maybe you expected to eat at one restaurant, but ended up eating at another with better food. You get the idea. And so in some sense, you can relate to the women in today's gospel reading who brought spices and went to the tomb expecting to anoint Jesus' dead body, but instead got the greatest news that he was risen. This morning we reflect on that gospel reading, relating their experience, and we do so under the theme, He is risen. Despite the gospel reading's unusual, abrupt ending, St. Mark's inspired account of Jesus' empty tomb agrees with the inspired accounts of Saints Matthew and Luke, especially in regards to the angels' dramatic announcements. He is risen, and he is not here. Even the women's going out and fleeing the tomb, trembling and astonished in St. Mark's account, is not inconsistent with the other accounts. Nor is the women's, at least initially, saying nothing to anyone because they were afraid. We also might tremble and be astonished and afraid if we came to a grave expecting someone to be dead and had angels tell us that the person was risen. What are your and my expectations in coming here this morning? Who or what did we expect to find? A larger crowd? Different music? A more engaging preacher? How are your and my initial expectations being unmet? How might we be receiving something better in the end? Of course, our unmet expectations related to God are not limited to our experiences here at Pilgrim this morning. We might expect Him to make us more successful in life. We might expect Him to give us a loving spouse and children. We might expect Him to heal a loved one, or maybe even us ourselves. We might expect Him to save our loved ones or all people, regardless of whether or not they believe. We might expect Him to relax His law or change it to go with our modern times. We might expect Him just to overlook some of the sins that we really like to commit. We might expect Him to deal with us when and where and how we want, instead of the times and places and ways that He has promised to deal with us. Of course, in all those regards, any problem is not with God, but with our expectations. Like the women who had forgotten, not understood, or doubted what Jesus had told them, we by nature are sinful. Like our first parents, who were tempted to be like God, we too often sinfully try to tell God what to do, judge Him by our standards, or ignore Him and His word altogether. The death such and all sin deserves is what today's Old Testament reading described as the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. And yet, that same reading describes how when we wait for Him, that is, when we turn away from our sin in sorrow and trust Him to forgive our sin, then He saves us, and we are glad and rejoice in his salvation. Thus, St. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, as we heard in today's epistle reading, could describe how Jesus died for sins and rose on the third day, both in keeping with the Old Testament prophetic writings and as recorded in New Testament gospel accounts. Even if today's gospel reading lacks an appearance of the risen Lord, St. Paul supplies more than 513. Such appearances attest to Jesus' resurrection, which in part itself shows that God accepted the God-man Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for us. Everything from Jesus' betrayal to his resurrection, more than that, from his conception in the womb of the Virgin Mary to his return at the end of time, everything was on account of our sins and his desire to save us. Because he loves you and loves me unconditionally. The hymns we have already sung today put it so well. From the 14th century, he endured the cross and grave, sinners to redeem and save. But the pains which he endured, our salvation have procured. From the 18th century, he is arisen, glorious word. Now reconciled is God my Lord. The gates of heaven are open. And dating even earlier than both of those, were Christ not arisen, then death were still our prison. Now with him to life restored, we praise the Father of our Lord. Alleluia. As we heard in the gospel reading, the angel not only told the women that Jesus was risen and not there in the tomb, but the angel also told the women where they could find the risen Jesus, in Galilee, as he had told them. So also for us, we do not find the risen Jesus in the tomb, but we find him with the benefits of his cross and tomb, where he promises to be. We do not find Jesus in the risen Jesus in the tomb, but we find him in the preaching of his word that, as St. Paul describes in the epistle reading, produces faith that receives salvation if its hearers hold fast to the word. We do not find the risen Jesus in the tomb, but we find him in the water and the word of holy baptism, where we are, as the collect put it, raised from the death of sin by his life-giving spirit. We do not find the risen Jesus in the tomb, but we find him forgiving our sins through the words of our pastor in individual holy absolution. We do not find the risen Jesus in the tomb, but we find him with his body and his blood in the bread and wine of the sacrament of the altar, where, as we sang in the hymn of the day, Christ alone our souls will feed. He is our meat and drink indeed. Faith lives upon no other. Some of you know that I waited tables in a 5-star restaurant and at times have enjoyed and really still can enjoy really good food and wine. So today's Old Testament reading, with its description of a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined, that reading has a certain appeal to me, so much that I had planned for it to be read at my funeral, if and when that might be. Yet despite the portion and the taste, already here and now in the sacrament of the altar, we have a foretaste of that feast that Isaiah describes. At the feast, the Lamb's high feast, we will eat and we will sing. Now no more can death appall, now no more the grave enthrall. You have opened paradise, and your saints in you shall rise. Alleluia. Though the lowliest forms now veil him, as of old in Bethlehem, here as there his angels hail him, branch and flower of Jesse's stem. Truly, here and now, We worship and feast on the risen Jesus with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, including all of those who have gone before us in the faith, whom we especially love and miss on holy days such as this. We know that our Redeemer lives. We will sing at the close of this service. What comfort that sweet sentence gives. He lives to save, to bless, to plead, to feed, to help, to grant, to guide, to comfort, to hear, to silence fears, to wipe away tears, to calm troubled hearts, to impart blessings, to prepare our mansions, and to bring us safely there. He is risen. As with the women in today's gospel reading, his resurrection exceeds all expectations, sinful or otherwise. Are you concerned about measuring up? He is risen, and you have his righteousness. Are you concerned about friends? He is risen, and he is your kind, wise, heavenly friend. Are you concerned about what you eat? He is risen, and his body and blood are the best food you can ever have. He is risen. Hallelujah.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.